welcome to Relationship Rewind on WERU FM 89.9 Blue Hill. I'm your host, Carrie Clark, the Prevention and Youth Services Coordinator at Next Step Domestic Violence Project. Often, young people are expected to just know how to be in relationships in healthy and equal ways, but we learn through the examples of relationships given to us, and a big place we see these examples is in the media we watch. That's why this show uses media like movies, TV shows, and books to start conversations about harmful and unhealthy behaviors in the relationships portrayed, but this is not to pass judgment on the media that we're discussing. Every month, we invite young people in Maine to give their perspective and to voice their thoughts, opinions, and experiences around what they've seen in media and how it has impacted them or the people they know. There are sensitive materials in and spoilers of the media we discuss. This month, Luna and I are discussing books in the dark romance genre, specifically The Haunting Adeline Duo. For context, these books follow the relationship between author Adeline and her stalker, Zaid, who also runs a business taking down human traffickers. Please note that there are discussions of sexual assault during our conversation and references to the taking of lives. If you need support or would like to learn more about dating violence or domestic violence, please reach out to us at Next Step by calling our 24/7 helpline at 1-800-315-5579. You can also find resources for young people on our website at nextstepdvproject.org/4-youth. Keep up with our community events and see upcoming information about our show by following us at Next Step Domestic Violence Project on Facebook or on Instagram at Next Step DV Project Official.
You want to tell me a little bit about what your experience has been like, just kind of growing up and seeing relationships play out in the media where some of these like less than ideal things are happening and how that has impacted you?
Yeah, well, I grew up in a very violent home. So from early on, my understandings of relationship was reflective of what I observed in that environment. Unhealthy behaviors were just normalized on a daily basis. So because of that, when I saw similar behaviors in media, things like manipulation, control, abuse, those didn't really stand out to me as red flags. They actually kind of felt familiar and expected in a weird way. But now as an adult, I can look back and see that abuse has really been a structural foundation in narratives throughout media for a very long time. But what's interesting is that a lot of older media is now being called out as, you know, like not aging well. And I do think that that shows at least some level of growth in how we understand relationships as a society. But at the same time, the issue has definitely not gone away. If anything, it's just become more subtle. Storytelling has like now mastered the art of packaging abuse and toxic behaviors in ways that make it harder to identify what's actually healthy versus just what's being romanticized.
It's interesting to reflect on the environment that we grew up in and how that really influences how we view media and relationships in the media. You grew up in an environment that wasn't ideal or healthy, and so those things being shown in the media felt familiar to you, whereas I've talked to guests that grew up in homes where that wasn't the norm, and they did have healthy relationships modeled to them, and so when they see those things play out in the media, it stands out to them. So you have a topic in mind for our discussion today. You brought up dark romance books specifically, and I think that that's a very popular genre of books right now. But there are some pretty unsettling things happening in these books. So I was really excited when you wanted to talk about this genre because it's something that I've been thinking about for a while. And you brought up a couple of books specifically. So can you tell me why you wanted to talk about these books?
I am so passionate about books. I've been reading since I was, oh my gosh, I mean, little. I feel like books are the world that you can dive into when the other world gets a little too heavy. So that kind of was like a coping mechanism for me when I was a child. And So I do what most people my age do nowadays, and I began to explore TikTok, which brought me over to Book Talk. And I guess that's kind of when I first really started to notice exactly how popular the dark romance genre had become. And I think a few of those books in particular really stood out to me. You know, they have this one called like Den of Vipers and The Ritual, which is like a whole series. They really stood out because they have like serious potential dangerous real world impacts on the readers. One of those books, of course, being The Haunting Adeline. It's a wildly popular book and is a great example, in my opinion, of how dark romance intentionally blurs the lines between real horror, abuse, and that love dynamic. The difference, though, with Haunting Adeline is in how extreme behaviors are portrayed, like stalking, obsession, even murder, are framed as a part of like passionate and seductive romance stories. And it doesn't just show these behaviors, it encourages the readers to really fully emotionally invest in them.
We had mentioned before we started recording, I do not plan to finish this book. I am not even a quarter of the way into it. And I mean, you mentioned the trauma that you can experience while reading these things, especially if you have those past experiences with like sexual assault, especially, or dating violence or stalking. And there's a trigger warning at the beginning of the book, but it does not discuss any of those things that I just mentioned. They don't ever mention the, I think they call it dubious consent, which is a whole
That's
other
a whole
thing that maybe you plan to discuss, but
other
I
thing.
mean there's so much going on here. There are so many problematic, scary things that do actually happen to people that are being portrayed as passionate, like you mentioned, or just kind of being brushed off very early on in the book. I understand that these books are for entertainment purposes, but I feel like there is a real responsibility on an author who is writing these types of books and knowing their audience to just put out there, even as a trigger warning, perhaps, like, hey, these things aren't okay the way they're being portrayed in the book. But this isn't the only book like this out there. I've certainly read a couple of others recently and had the same kinds of thoughts. Lights Out being another one.
Oh,
That's
yeah.
a very, very popular one. But so I wondered if you could talk about a couple of specific examples from Haunting Adeline where you see these kinds of behaviors being maybe normalized or romanticized.
I think this book presents a version of love that feels like an ultimate form of devotion. It's like this intense, all-consuming, exclusive, unique type of love. But it achieves this by reframing abusive dynamics in romance, well, into romance and desire, instead of actually reinforcing them as the glaring red flags that they are. The story just softens them through a ton, I'm sure that you noticed, of sexual tension and manipulated emotional vulnerability. It just shifts ultimately everything from the narrative of fear, which is natural to have in those situations, to like this kind of fascinating attraction. For example, the story opens up with Zaid, a good-looking, intelligent criminal, breaking into Adeline, who is, of course, the innocent, beautiful female's home, where he watches her and learns her routines without her consent. And although Adeline does show fear initially, Zaid's actions are received as more of like an inconvenience than truly dangerous. Like they're really just genuinely dismissed. And his behavior is presented with more of like this seduction and intrigue, making it feel less threatening and more of like a thrilling curiosity to the reader. So we get emotionally invested pretty early on.
Yeah, I definitely noticed the like downplaying of the seriousness of what's happening. Like the cops are not called straight away, and then when they are, it's just kind of mentioned offhandedly almost. There's not a lot of focus on that feeling of being terrified that somebody has broken into your home. And it is being shown in a way that is almost like this seductive mystery man, but she's never seen him. And so I feel like, at least in many of the other books of this nature that I have read, there's this like, I see him and he's, gorgeous and mysterious and this dark figure. And so we can kind of understand how they've made this kind of leap from like this, it's a dangerous, kind of enticing situation. But this is like she calls him her shadow. Like she has never seen him. There's just somebody breaking into her house and leaving her flowers and chasing off. And then we find out unaliving the people that she is trying to form a relationship with or be intimate with. So, I mean, the reality of that in real life, that is terrifying because those things do happen. And when we're actually in those situations, and many people have been in similar situations, it's not a romantic thing and it's not an exciting thing in a good way.
So as you were talking about, by the middle of the book, we have seen like the major escalation in Zaid's behavior. His obsession fueled stalking quickly turns into just downright violence. He, unalives and cuts off the hands of another man that Adeline was involved with and like presents them to her as a gift while also threatening her not to contact the police. But the story kind of frames it as like, hey, that's okay because the other guy was a criminal that was, same criminal as Zaid, but he's worse than Zaid.
If you're just joining in, this is Relationship Rewind on WERU FM 89.9 Blue Hill. I'm your host, Carrie Clark, and today Luna and I are discussing dark romance books. Please note that our discussion references sexual assault and the taking of lives.
Their relationship really becomes more physically intimate and but in ways like where the consent is repeatedly compromised. Adeline is continuously overpowered, pressured, and she's even drugged. So, leaving her in a very highly vulnerable state during, of course, which sexual activity does occur. And true consent just really cannot be given. And that happens, I feel like, just over and over and over again, which for me was really hard to get through as a survivor of sexual assault. So, normally this would clearly be defined at minimum as a violation of consent and probably a safe bet for like first degree felony. However, rather than treating it like a clear act of harm, the author decides to kind of rationalize Zaid's behavior. He portrays him as like this morally complex figure because he has like a fight to stop human trafficking. And that frames him as more of like a dark hero than a real criminal. We as the readers start to believe, yeah, he's dangerous, but for a good reason. And that, as it does in real life, like this is a real thing that happens, and you feel empathetic. And it takes that empathy and uses it as an emotional tool so that the reader doesn't question Adeline's actions after these encounters. There's like this internal emotional shift, turning like the situations of control into desire and resistance that she does keep repetitively showing. It turns that resistance into like sexual tension. It really cancels each other out. And I, you know, there's real life impact for these readers that just like, they might not have a clear understanding of what healthy relationships looks like. They maybe are a little bit younger because this book is easily accessible to anybody that has an Audible or stops into a bookstore or buys it online that has an Amazon account. These types of portrayals can be really misleading for somebody that doesn't have the background or expense to recognize those red flags. They start to see these behaviors as like intense or passionate rather than really dangerous. And it also reinforces the idea that harmful actions are justified if the person has a good reason or a tragic backstory. This mindset can absolutely be carried into real life where someone might excuse controlling behavior or abusive behavior because they just believe the person is misunderstood or capable of change. I mean, how many times have we heard that just kind of talking to our friends throughout life?
It's really confusing to somebody who doesn't have those experiences or that kind of background knowledge to understand that these things are actually very serious and not okay to have somebody do to you. But it can also be confusing for those who do have those experiences, who maybe haven't really dove into like what has happened to them and really kind of navigated that. When they're seeing these things that have happened to them being shown in a way that's like romantic or being shown as okay, or they're seeing people enjoying those stories or like saying that I want a protector like Zaid, and then it kind of it goes against the experience they've had. It can be really confusing. That dubious consent piece, like I had never heard that term before kind of researching this genre of books, and it blew my mind. Dubious consent is not consent. Like, consent either is or isn't. And if it's not enthusiastically, yes, I am super thrilled with everything that's going down. Whether or not, we're playing a game and like pretending there's a situation happening that is a little bit dark or dangerous, if we're all excited about doing that, fine. But if it has just been chosen for me, like this is what is happening, that's not consent. And it's a very serious conversation, saying like, I want this person, so I'm just going to make them do what I want, and they're going to like it, and they're going to fall for me. Like, that's not how the real world works. And so for people seeing that and maybe thinking like, oh, okay, well then I can just do that, that's very dangerous.
The fact that we have a brand new term like dubious consent to kind of explain these things makes me feel a little bit sad in a way because this is a repeating theme that has just been coming up in books. And I mean, Zaid is constantly shown to be very violent, a threat to others, and consent is like you said, it's out the window. It's you're gonna enjoy it because I'm doing it. And there's this whole narrative of like, yeah, he's dangerous, even though she is many times saying stop or no. It's like he's dangerous, but not to her. So like, no matter what actions he has taken that may push those boundaries, violate those boundaries, or just downright take away her autonomy of choice and consent, it's like he will never truly harm her. And I think that, like the protector, the she's special kind of dynamic is perhaps probably the most concerning kind of impact that readers could take with them from the book because it strongly promotes the idea that being chosen by someone dangerous that in some way makes you special or even like more safe. When in reality, like you said, in real life, that's not how these dynamics work. People who exhibit controlling and violent tendencies do not selectively just shut that off. And believing that they will is just going to put somebody in a very vulnerable and dangerous position.
So these things that we do see in the media do spill over into real life, and they do have real world impacts on the people who consume that media. So it is important to have these discussions and to keep these things in mind when we are reading or watching these things play out.
I've heard so many times where similar situations of abuse have almost never turned out in safety. You are always left less safe in real life, but you don't know that until you take what you've learned from these books and you're already deeply into a relationship and you're at the point where you don't have as much control or choice to leave as you once did.
Do you have any other thoughts on how you feel like these books as a whole could impact the folks reading the books?
I was actually talking to one of my friends who's a mother. She has another friend whose daughter is about 14, 15, and was really upset. They had gotten this book recommended to them and started reading it and was just really like kind of in love with it, but also really upset by it at the same time because, you know, they're going through that whole age of where they're really enthralled with any kind of romance or love. The idea of love is everything. And I started really thinking about outside of me, like I just thought, wow, I wasted so much money, so much time on my Audible books. I'm never gonna read these. This sucks. But then I started thinking, I was like, wow, like she is 14 or 15 years old and is already really starting to see these things are being pushed in books, like these narratives are really out there for younger readers. And when you like frame obsession and, you know, label it as devotion or control, being seen as protection, it can really influence how any reader interprets that behavior in their life. Relationships built on fear and control or coercion do not lead to safety. They escalate to life-threatening situations or loss of freedom or true choice. Just because something is presented as romantic or desirable in a story does not mean that it is healthy in real life, even when it is paired with, you know, this empathy or sexual tension. Is safety is something that is can already be so difficult to find and maintain in real life. It is really built through consistency of trust and respect. Narratives like this, safety is just redefined as something you get only by being chosen or protected by someone dangerous. It creates this kind of illusion that the only way to be truly safe is to be under the control of the very person who possesses the greatest threat to you. The idea is just not only unrealistic, it is serious. Seriously dangerous, as you and I both know in this field. I mean, in real life, safety does not come from surrendering your autonomy to someone powerful or absolutely unpredictable. It comes from being with somebody who doesn't make you feel unsafe in the first place.
What do you think that we could tell people to keep in mind while reading these things that might help lessen some of the potential negative impact that we've been talking about? Because there are so many with this genre specifically.
If I could just say one thing for people reading the dark romance genre book is remember not only that it's just a story, but that it is not reality. In other stories, fantasy books, so to speak, we can follow along with the character we emotionally attach ourselves to, and we feel those feelings, and those feelings can translate into real life like anything. But the difference is that although we can easily recognize that dragons won't be flying through the sky, we might be able to still realistically translate the feeling of love between the main characters into a real life love. And that kind of gives that a certain realism. But these books, because this abuse aspect is so hard to identify and it does get very twisted into ideas of, you know, infatuation, affection, flattering, love, and just everything in unhealthy relationships, you have to remind yourself this is not how it would turn out if I was in this situation in real life.
I think that's what people tend to like fall back on if there is ever like any backlash or, trying to have a conversation even around the behavior sometimes. It's like, well, it's not real. It's just a story. Yes. And like you said, those feelings that we develop or characters or situations when we're reading or watching something, we take those things with us out into the real world. I mean, as a reader, I can tell you, I have been lost in so many stories that I carry with me out of the book and into the real world. And it affects how I interact with others sometimes, and it really does impact us in real life. And so I think keeping that in mind is really important, and being able to like really reflect on what did I just read, you know? And if we're having feelings of like, oh, I want somebody who's, you know, a protector and really loves me so much that they would do anything for me, really trying to think critically about, okay, if somebody sent me severed hands in a box, like, what would my actual reaction to that be? And it's hard when you're not actually in that situation to think about that. But I think it's important to distinguish between what's happening in the story and how that would actually feel if it happened to you in real life, if you are having those thoughts of like, I want that in my life.
Definitely. And that's where the book does a very good job. It really does trick you into thinking that, you know, you want that. This is something that to like look for in life, that ultimate passionate, you know, and we're as human beings, we're just like little emotional sponges, and we absorb everything we take in, even if you don't think you do. After you close that book or turn off the TV, trust me, you take it with you subconsciously.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Luna. I appreciate you coming on and talking to me about this genre because it is something that I've wanted to talk about for a while, and it's wildly popular. And so I think it is important that we talk about it.
I'd like to thank Luna for joining me today for this discussion about dark romance genre of books and how we can all keep our own safety in mind while reading. You've been listening to Relationship Rewind. I'm your host, Carrie Clark, and I hope you'll join us again next month on the third Tuesday from 4:30 to 5, where we will be continuing this conversation and breaking down another relationship in popular media. You can also listen to our live stream or subscribe to our podcast at WERU.org or on the WERU smartphone app. You can also find us on Spotify and Apple Music. If you are a young person in Maine who's interested in being a guest on the show, have ideas of media we could talk about, or you know of a young person who might be interested, please reach out to me at cclark@nextstepdvproject.org. If you need support or would like to learn more about dating violence or domestic violence, please reach out to us at Next Step by calling our 24/7 helpline at 1-800-315-5579. You can also find resources for young people on our website at nextstepdvproject.org/4-youth. Keep up with our community events and see upcoming information about our show by following us at Next Step Domestic Violence Project on Facebook or on Instagram at Next Step DV Project Official.